Lots going on. Let's get to it right here. Well, of course, we're hearing a lot now about Congress moving on to tax reform. Tax reform is a two-headed monster, and it certainly is going to be a challenge to get agreement out of this Congress on tax reform. The first head of the monster is corporate tax reform. Now, I'm not suggesting that I know which will be first taken up by Congress, because I don't know. There has been a lack of clarity on this. There's been a lack of transparency on this in Congress, and I don't think there's any way to know. But let's pretend that the first thing that Congress takes up is corporate tax reform. Now, corporate tax reform really has two parts to it. The first part is lowering the highest corporate tax rate of any major industrialized country. We're at 35%. So the first part is getting that rate down. And by the way, the effective rate, which takes into consideration all of the machinations in the tax code, the effective rate is about 26%, but the top rate is 35%. So the first objective is to get that top marginal rate lowered. The second part of corporate tax reform is the repatriation part. That has to do with allowing companies with large, with money overseas, and some of them are really big. The numbers are really big, in the hundreds of billions. In the case of at least one company, the idea of getting that money brought back into the United States at a special rate, a preferential rate. That rate could, for example, possibly be something like 10%. Now, it has to be a really low rate in order to encourage the companies to bring the money back and pay the tax. One of the numbers that's been floated is 10%. We don't know the answer to this because there is no legislation at this point. It's an idea. Anyway, that's the second part of corporate tax reform. So when we think about tax reform, we're going to divide it into corporate tax reform and personal tax reform. And on the corporate side, we're going to subdivide that into lowering the rate from the current 35% top rate. And then we're going to also look separately at a repatriation rate, a special low rate for bringing money back that is in retained earnings overseas. So we have those items. Now, that money that is brought back is a big deal because that money can be used for mergers and acquisitions. That money can, here in the United States, that money can be used for stock buybacks to reduce the outstanding number of shares. That money can be used also to pay dividends. All of those possible uses are there. It's less likely that that money is going to be used to build factories and expand businesses because that is demand sensitive. CEOs need demand to build factories and expand businesses. And without incremental demand, they're unlikely to do it just because they repatriated foreign earnings. So you're not held up from that anyway right now, because if you're a CEO and you have foreign earnings that are sitting overseas and you don't want to bring them back because you don't want to pay the taxes, you can go out, in many cases, you can borrow the money to expand your business, especially since you have this money sitting overseas that's there anyway. So that's what the corporate tax reform is about, the rate and the repatriation issue. Separate from that, and this one, if you want to talk about a sticky wicket, this one's about as sticky as it gets, and that's the issue of personal tax reform. Personal tax reform has the potential to be a quagmire for Congress. And the reason I say that is because the proposal that has been brought forth by the GOP in Congress, along with the president, is that we go with three brackets, 12%, 25%, 33%, which is a big reduction from the current rate. The top rate now is 39.6, and of course the health care tax is on top of that, but the health care tax is the law of the land right now, so that has not changed as of now. So you'd be going from 39.6 to 33. That's a 6.6 cut. In the absolute tax rate that you'd be paying, 39.6 down to 33. That's a 6.6 absolute reduction at the top. So you would have these three brackets, hypothetically. But here is the spanner in the works in all of this. We are hearing constantly from members of Congress that tax reform should be revenue neutral. Now, whether it will be or not remains to be seen. We don't know this. We shall know in the fullness of time, of course, but we don't know it today. But if it's revenue neutral, and if the rates are coming down, and if it's estimated that the reduction in rates that I just reviewed would cost $2.7 billion over the next 10 years, then if it's revenue neutral, the question is, well, wait, where does that $2.7 billion get thrown back into the revenue pool if the rates are cut like that? That's a good question. Half of that money, though, half of it can be recouped with one change in the tax code. And that is the elimination of the deductibility of state and local taxes. The elimination of the deductibility of state and local taxes, which has been part of the IRS code since 1913 when it all started. If that's eliminated, federal revenues will increase by about $1.3 trillion over 10 years. That is about half of the $2.7 trillion reduction in revenue that would occur as a result of going to those three brackets and lowering that top bracket dramatically from 39.6 to 33. So there you have it. And the GOP leadership in the House has proposed a plan where state and local tax deductions will be eliminated. Now, 30% of returns itemize in the USA. And those that itemize, as a general rule, they're deducting state income taxes and local taxes, such as, for example, property taxes. And there are states around the USA where state income taxes and property taxes can add up to a big deduction on a tax return. How big? Well, about 60% of the deductions that are taken by those that itemize in the state and local taxes category, about 60% of that is income tax, and about 35% is property tax. So in other words, 95% of state and local tax deductions are income taxes and property taxes. It's a really big deal. Now, of course, this is all subject to AMT implications. But these are the numbers. Where are these deductions the most popular? Where do tax returns show the most deduction for state income taxes and for property taxes? That's easy. Most of it is in the West and the Northeast. The New England region, for example, including, of course, the New York, New Jersey area, and the Western United States, especially high tax states. There are many high tax states in the West, Hawaii, Oregon, California, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are others as well. So this is a really sticky wicket, because what's going to happen is there's going to be a controversy that will emerge This is as certain as the sunrise tomorrow morning. There will be a huge controversy that will emerge from representatives in the high-tax states. This is especially important in the House of Representatives, where representation is related to population. Now, in the Senate, it's a whole different story. In the Senate, New York gets two senators, Rhode Island gets two senators. So in the Senate, everybody gets two senators. That's a different ballgame. But in the House, where representation is related to population, it's a really big deal. Ask yourself this. How many House of Representative members that represent places like Oregon, California, New York, how many of them are going to agree that, hey, it's a great idea, go ahead, remove this deductibility of state and local taxes, this deductibility that has been on the books since 1913. Go ahead. Sure, you're raising the taxes of the voters that I represent in these states. Of course you are, because, I mean, after all, they're taking these deductions, and it's a big amount. We have high taxes in some of these states, property taxes, too, in some of these states. Well, go ahead, take them away. We don't care. That's not going to happen. These representatives are going to fight for their voters. This is going to be a quagmire when they get into this. Now, so far, House leadership is suggesting that the mortgage interest deduction will be protected, that charitable deductions will be protected, and that retirement account deductions will be protected. So far, everything is subject to change, of course. So this is going to be fascinating, probably better than the seventh game of a World Series, to see how this is going to play out. Now, let me tell you the people out there that are completely off base and should be tagged out because they're wrong. Those are the people that are saying, oh, tax reform? No problem. It's going to be easy. Tax reform, that's going to be the easiest thing we ever did. Don't believe a word of it. It's complete fiction. The last time that major income tax reform occurred was 1986. Why has it been 31 years? Has it been 31 years because, well, you know, the tax code's perfect. We don't have to change anything. That's not the reason. It's been 31 years because it's a quagmire. And it will be this time, too. Hopefully, they'll be able to reach agreement at some point. But the notion it's going to be a slam dunk piece of cake is pure fiction. This stuff is not easy, but it is really, really difficult.